The doors are closed, but the store is open just for you. At the Crate and Barrel private registry events, you can sip and scan your way through the store with music, food, drinks, and a fun party vibe. Don't worry, you'll get plenty of one-on-one guidance along the way from our dedicated registry experts. You can see your favorite gourmet brands in action with demos of the kitchen machines and tools that we've been eyeing. And when the party's over, head home with a special gift from us to toast the day. Wink, wink, it's free wine glasses. Let's make it a date. RSVP today for a Crate and Barrel private registry event at crateandbarrel.com/stores/events.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast with iHeartRadio.
Oh, Ashley and I are together again, and it feels nice. What's up, Ash?
I did 3 episodes without you, Ben. I talked a lot last week.
I was going to say, that's not all my fault. You were in Tahoe just pumping out episodes like crazy.
Well, I also was going to say, you're going to do 3 without me at minimum because of the honeymoon.
Yeah, you're going to be on the honeymoon. Hey, it's all good. We're a team here. We've got to kind of be flexible. I was in Switzerland. You were in Tahoe. I just think sometimes life gets in the way.
How was Switzerland?
You know, Ashley, it was awesome. So Jessica and I went to play in the Ryder Cup Foundation's golf tournament. And so what happens is Prince Albert of Monaco every year.
Oh, my goodness. How cool. He's Grace Kelly's son.
Yeah, right? Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
He invites 12 American celebrities and then 12 European celebrities. So the question and to play in this golf tournament against each other for a week. And this time it was in Switzerland. So here's the funny part about the whole thing. Because every time I say this, the follow-up question is, Ben, how in the world did you get invited?
I was going to say 12 celebrities? 12 American celebrities invited by Prince Albert, and you're one of them? That's pretty darn cool.
Or it's really embarrassing, and let me tell you why.
Okay.
So obviously, anybody can tell me, oh, wow, I'm really surprised that of 12 celebrities, you were invited. I would say, I agree with you. I'm pretty shocked myself, and I don't view myself in any way as relevant, but I will take any opportunity I get. Here's what happened. Most of the time, it's football players that get invited to this, and this year it
soccer
got pushed
or
back
football?
2 weeks.
Soccer or football?
Like football, like American football.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, like American football.
Yeah.
But the date of this tournament got pushed back 2 weeks because of some things happening in Switzerland. And so all of the football players had to back out last minute.
And training
camp. And guess
camp.
What happens when – yeah, training camp. So guess what happens when a bunch of them back out? I get the phone call as, like, your D team.
Hey, it's not D team. It's B team. And that still means that you were one of 24 people asked. Okay? That's really cool.
Yeah. it was awesome. It was so fun. Jess and I had the coolest time. I mean, we were in St. Moritz, Switzerland. Which is one of the most beautiful places in the world at the Bedrutz Resort. Anyways, it was great. Got to meet some really cool people. Ashley, listen to this. I got to meet somebody who owns a 45,000-acre vineyard in Chile. How cool would that be?
45,000 acres? How many miles is that?
Yeah. Is it a
miles?
Lot.
Yeah, okay.
His vineyard is the Vic Vineyard. It was just a cool trip. A lot of cool things happened. But it's not as important as the stuff that's going on in your life. You've got a wedding coming up.
Well, I was going to say,
really soon.
The next trip you guys make as a couple might be to my wedding. And Jared and I, Jared and I have been getting gifts from our Crate and Barrel registry all the time. And it's really filling up our new home together. So let me tell you a little about Crate and Barrel.
I think everybody knows that amazing feeling that it is coming home after a long day, washing your face, brushing your teeth, and getting yourself in bed. And to enhance the feeling, it's the best when you have the freshest, fluffiest duvet, sheets, pillows, comforters. Jared and I have gotten all of ours from our Crate and Barrel registry. They help us relax, and it makes our time alone together in bed even better. Sleep is better, right? Just that feeling that you get to look forward to is better. adding these products to our wedding registry with Crate and Barrel was super easy and fun to pick out because, you know, you're in the store and you just scan it right on your phone. Or if you'd forget to register for bedding or you want to figure out which kind, you need extra time to think about what you want to choose. Jared and I just got our flannels, which, you know, we're going to save for a colder season. But you get to go back and add those things on the app as well. So you don't have to register for everything in the store. You can think about some things. I really like that about the Crate and Barrel app and registering with Crate and Barrel. So if you want a bed like ours, and it's a good one, I'll tell you that's a really, really good one. It's so comfy with all of our new sheets and pillows and comforters, and it looks so good. It looks adult. And it's timeless, like everything at Crate and Barrel. It's classic. It's going to be stylish and look great for so many years to come. Start your Crate and Barrel registry at crateandbarrel.com/wedding-registry.
Hey, Ashley, I didn't get to talk about it too much because I was away. And we've been getting a ton of questions and emails and Twitter responses about this new Bachelor Live deal. A lot of them are worried that this podcast is going to end when Bachelor Live begins. Ashley, is that true?
No way. I can't even believe people thought that that was a legitimate concern. Of course it's not. You do this remotely almost every year, every day, every week. So you're just going to be doing it remotely from a tour bus wherever you are in America.
Exactly. Yeah, we're going to be fine. Like, honestly, it's going to be fun because I think on the podcast, I could see us breaking down like some of the stories that are happening at some of these live events.
Oh, yeah. That'll be really, you know, really fun. And I will come and visit you on the road for sure.
Yeah. You know, I've also got some questions about what Bachelor Live is. And let me explain it for a second, because last week there was just a lot going on and I couldn't dive in. But Bachelor Live is this. So the Bachelor Nation has been so great to all of us. I mean, Ashley and I have done this podcast for 2 years with Bachelor Nation listeners listening. And we get asked all the time kind of the behind the scenes stuff. You know, there's this like fantasy world that's displayed on TV and it's super romantic and it's drama filled. And ultimately at the end, we hope love exists and it comes from it. Well, that's what Bachelor Live is. You know, Warner Brothers got together and they said, hey, what if we just gave a thank you to Bachelor Nation and made a tour that goes to a ton of different cities across the U.S.? We show up and we do the Bachelor show live in front of a live audience where you have a live Bachelor and the suitors, they're dating. Bachelor Nation gets to come and vote on who gets a rose and who doesn't. And, you know, if you want to come for drama, you can. If you want to come for love, that may exist from it as well.
And if you want to just come really, to see Ben Higgins in real life, that's great too.
Yeah, that's something special, let me tell you. but yeah, that's what it is. I'm going to be hosting. I'm super jacked about it. It's going to be really great. There's going to be other people from Bachelor Nation showing up on the road as well. But long story short, we're just hitting the road. The Bachelor is coming to a city near you. You've got to check it out. I want to see you. But this podcast is not ending in the process.
Nope. We do have other Bachelor news to discuss. So we're going to go down this rundown real quick before we get Luke Pell on the line, who's going to talk about his feelings about Jed pursuing his music so hard on The Bachelorette. It has been such a storyline for him, unlike we've ever seen before, but there have been other musicians on the show, and Luke is one of them, so we can't wait to get his opinion on Jed, and if he's ever really run into him around Nashville, because I feel like maybe they don't run in a similar circle, but I do know that, I don't know if you know this, Ben, that Jed is good friends with James Taylor of JoJo season.
Oh, wow. I had no clue. I mean, yeah, no clue.
Yeah, no, they are, so.
I wonder what that says. Like, I wonder if we could ask Luke a little bit about, like, you know, typically who you associate with friends is, you know, points to who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. And we never got to know James very well. He was never really, I mean, he was around for a while, but I can't really remember much about him.
He said some controversial things on social media.
Yeah, he has gotten himself into trouble for that. And I don't think, I mean, from what I've seen or know, I don't think James's career was necessarily benefited from the show. Like,
no.
I don't think he's like has like a recording deal.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I don't know. We'll have to ask Luke.
We'll see.
Anyways, hey, Rachel is having her bachelorette party right now. She's obviously planning a wedding. She went down to Costa Rica to the Planet Hollywood with Astrid, Alexis, Christina, Whitney, Franzway. They're hanging out. They're enjoying themselves. I mean, it just looks like they're having a good time. Is there anything special going on here, or is it just a big celebration?
I think it's just a big celebration.
That's pretty awesome. When is the wedding? Do I know this?
Their wedding's in August as well.
Is it on the same weekend as you?
No.
It is not? Is it?
No.
Is it anything like, are they doing their own wedding? Is The Bachelor like, is it on TV? Nope. Is there anything like that going on?
Nope. It's the exact same as ours. No TV involved. And I don't know if you remember, but a couple months ago, I talked about how Rachel actually came to me to ask our date so that our weddings wouldn't fall on the same weekend, which is very sweet of her.
That is really sweet of her.
Really
do you know
nice.
Where they're getting married?
I think it's in the Caribbean.
That sounds fun. Yeah. I think one day, you know, you're doing a great thing. Newport is awesome. I think I'm into the destination wedding idea because the people that can't come won't come. But then you're kind of away from friends and family in your own home. So everybody's going to kind of feel like they're on vacation. Do you like the idea of that?
Yeah, I really like that. I think ours is like a perfect medium. Like you don't feel like you're going too far because it's, you know, in the country, but it's still definitely a destination for a lot of people who haven't been there before. And it's a very lovely summer spot.
Everybody I talk to, and I know we've talked about your wedding a ton, which we should. It's your big special day, Ashley. But anyway, everybody I talk to say that your wedding is going to be magnificent.
No.
Like just based on location and the time put in. But hey, super pumped for Rachel. Big for her. I hope they're celebrating well. We are going to be following that wedding as it comes up as well. Hey, Demi Burnett, one of our favorite people and one of Bachelor Nation's favorite people, came out on Twitter and called herself what I imagine is the queer queen, correct?
Oh, yes, because we see that we see in the Bachelor Paradise premiere, it seems like she has a same-sex relationship or is pursuing one. So she let us all, she confirmed that basically on Twitter.
Yeah, so I mean, kind of, right? Like, queer doesn't mean gay, but I'm assuming based on the Paradise preview and promo, she's in a same-sex relationship in Paradise. So the big question that we don't know is, you know, was it happening before? Does it last? And is she, you know, ultimately, like everybody on the show, is she happy? So she came on Twitter. This promo, by the way, has so many different storylines. I'm so pumped to watch this season.
Are you worried about your friend Blake after seeing
definitely.
The promo?
100%. Okay. I'm really worried about him. I mean, I'm worried about him because Blake's a good dude. And he's a good dude that probably has made some really bad decisions. And ultimately, we all have, right? And so the hope is that we learn from those decisions as life goes. The problem, though, is kind of, you know, like we talked about with Luke P., Luke P., when he's made bad decisions on the show, he's just kind of doubled down and not admitted fault and just said, like, yeah, I'm above it all. I think knowing Blake, this is really going to wreck him. And I bet he comes out of this a better man because he's realized the mistakes he's made, and I think he'll try to become a better man for it. So that's my hope. But I am worried. It looks bad.
Yeah, does look bad. And when we were down in Paradise for Crystal and Chris's wedding, it didn't sound that great either.
No, it really doesn't. So that's a storyline to watch. Obviously, we see a fight, like a legitimate fight. I'm wondering who that is. I don't think we ever got any clue of who it was. Our buddy Dean's down there. There's a lot happening on Paradise. It's going to be a wild season. I expect huge ratings for Paradise this year. Speaking of ratings, JoJo and Jordan's Cash Pad premiered this week. Did you watch?
I DVR'd it. I haven't watched it yet, but it's all on my to-do list. And I know the second episode, I think, comes out tomorrow, so maybe I'll just watch two in a row. It looks awesome. I heard great things about it. My mom was like, oh, my God, JoJo and Jordan are so amazing. They're next Chip and Joanna. So I know the show's good.
So do we have any insight in how the ratings, like, was it a massive success? How'd it do?
I don't know.
I don't either. I tried to find out before this podcast, and I couldn't find anything.
Did you watch it?
I did not. I was totally away in Switzerland. So
I haven't
been back in the States. I mean, they're going to be great. I have zero doubt that JoJo and Jordan together doing this show, they're going to be good. But even the best of shows sometimes don't get viewers for whatever reason. And so the real mark is like, hey, are they able to convert how good they are to viewership?
Oh, but let's tell people what the show is about. So it's not just like a home flipping show. What it is they go in, they renovate houses, like guest houses and stuff like that. Or not even guest houses. They renovate places so they can become something like an Airbnb. So now people can make money off their spaces, hence Cash Pad.
Now, does JoJo and Jordan have a stake in the Airbnb as well, or they just kind of flip it or clean it up and leave? Or are they, like, investing into the Airbnb also?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Hey, I think it's a good idea.
It's a really good idea.
They're a fun couple. Yeah, they're a fun couple to watch. Good on them. Either way, we hope the best success for everything they're doing. Hey, this is Chris Harrison's birthday week. We love our good old host. Everybody's celebrating him. I mean, everybody from Bachelor Nation was posting a picture with Chris Harrison. I was going to and chose not to just because I felt like I was following a crowd. Sometimes I don't like to follow the crowd.
Last piece of news I have is that Jade still has the baby in her belly, which means that we have very few days left for her to be able to make the wedding. We brought her a salad that apparently has put many people into labor. The place that I got this salad from is in Studio City. I forget how to say the name. It's like C Chow Pizza or something. Hillary Duff was spotted going there to get a salad while she was pregnant. Even Carson Daly had his wife eat the salad for the first kid. It worked. And then she ordered a bottle of the salad dressing to New York and chugged the entire thing. And I do believe she went into labor again that time. So it's a famous salad to get people's delivery going. It doesn't seem to have worked for Jade. One of our producer friends actually told me that his wife did it, and it's the castor oil in it that gets things moving. But sometimes it doesn't get the baby moving, it gets your bowels moving.
Always fun. That's a good time.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of good times, Ashley, we have so much to talk about on this podcast. Hannah B season is coming to an end very soon, but it doesn't mean that the drama and the storylines are finished. Hey, Luke Pell's going to come on and talk to us about what his thoughts are on Jed. We're going to dig into Jed, and Luke Pell seems to be an expert on that. But before we do, Ashley, you love Third Love, and so do I.
I sure do, and I know you do, because your girlfriend now wears her Third Love bra. And Jess may love it, but does she know why she loves it? I'll let her in right now. It uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken the Fit Finder quiz on Third Love's website, and they design bras with a breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and a premium feel. Third Love offers more than 70 sizes, including their half cup sizes. A lot of women, when using the Fit Finder quiz, They find that they are half cup size. I am a half cup size. My sister's a half cup size, but we didn't know this until we found out on the Third Love Fit Finder quiz. What I also love about Third Love is it avoids those awkward fitting room experiences where every lady that works in the bra area wants to measure you. And you're like, I think of my breasts as kind of a private thing. I'd rather you not look in the mall, you know? So Third Love eliminates that. Every customer also has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. And if you don't love it, you can return it. And Third Love will wash and donate to a woman in need. And I love this because, oddly, a lot of other donation places do not accept bras. And I think that is just ridiculous because women in need need bras. There are fit stylists that are available every day to help you via text, chat, or phone. And what I love the most about Third Love is while other brands charge more based on sizing, Third Love bras cost the same no matter what your size is. I can't believe that other companies do that. That's insane. Returns and exchanges are free and easy. Hands down, the most comfortable bra you'll ever wear. Third Love bras don't have straps that slip, and they have tagless labels, so there's no itching. And returns and exchanges are free and easy. Third Love knows there's a bra for everyone, a perfect fitting bra for everyone. Revolutionary. So you can get 15% off your first order only for Almost Famous listeners. So go to thirdlove.com/famous now to purchase your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's Third Love, thirdlove.com/famous for 15% off today. All right, guys, we have one of our good friends from Bachelor Winter Games, Luke Pell, on the line. If you guys don't remember him and you're a new watcher to Bachelor Nation, Luke Pell served in Afghanistan during his first 5 years with the U.S. Army. He grew up in Texas. He moved to Nashville, chasing his dream of music. He has some amazing music out there on iTunes. You should totally check it out. And he appeared on JoJo, the 12th season of The Bachelorette. Luke!
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on. Good
Luke,
to talk to you guys.
How horrible is it to also be a Luke P these days?
Yeah, that's exciting. I've gotten a few misdirected tweets and DMs and Instagram that were meant for somebody else, and then 24 hours later, they're like, "Oh my God, I apologize. That's the wrong Luke P." It's so funny.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, I have seen what they intended to send though, and I feel bad for the kid. Honestly, I mean that. There's some rough DMs out there.
You know what's interesting is I feel that Bachelor Nation alum have had more empathy for Luke than anyone else out there. Whenever I'm with a group of Bachelor peeps and we're like, you know, off the mic, we're actually talking about how we feel bad for him. Not that he didn't screw up immensely, but I guess there's just like a certain component of the process and the scrutiny that comes with it that we understand that a lot of people don't. Like, we were with Kendall and Joe this weekend and they were like, it's pretty crazy. And then same with Jade and Tanner, and the same with the Tahoe crew last week.
Sure. Yeah. It's kind of funny, you know, everybody comes on the show from different backgrounds and everybody has a different level of self-awareness. Some people are very self-aware when they come on to the show and start filming, and others, you know, they don't see themselves through the same lens as the rest of the world might in a certain situation. And then, of course, you know, the job of the producers is to take that one direction or the other and, you know, help build somebody's narrative, if you will. So
That being said, I don't condone anything that he did.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know.
Flavor up front is like, you know, there is intention versus execution. And he had poor execution of how he handled himself. And I think, you know, a kid like that, he can look back at his time during that filming and probably, although he has had a couple of chances to, you know, apologize or say, "I could have done things better." But I think one day he'll look at it and say, "Hey, I could have done something a little bit better and had a little bit better positive attitude about how I went through this and been more empathetic to other people and more respectful of other people and their opinions and their outlook on life, even if it is different than mine," you know, those type of things. I think eventually, surely he'll see it through those lenses. So,
well, we hope so. Right now we're moving on to like another formed villain, kind of. Jed. So Jed was a front runner in the very beginning. Everybody loved him. And then this information about him having a girlfriend, leaving the show with a girlfriend and saying, "I love you," and going on vacation and her meeting the family. Like, and all of us now can't stand Jed. And he's a musician. And it's gotten the whole show. I'm not sure if you saw this past episode, this episode, Luke, but this episode, the family concentrates a lot on Jed's music career and how he can provide for Hannah financially in the future. What do you think about Jed right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, I'll preface with this. It's the interesting thing about this is, you know, we've kind of, before the show has exposed Jed, you know, activity before he filmed and all this about the girlfriend back home, that's not been out yet in public. That's all been in tabloids on, you know, bloggers, Reality Steve, those type of people. And it's been this whole Bachelor Nation underground type of viral narrative that hasn't even happened on the show yet. So that's just going to get start to unfold here at the very end of the episodes. But you know, I think that these days people, they call it quote unquote receipts. And, you know, a kid like him, I don't know Jed. I've met Jed. I don't know him personally other than just meeting briefly. And it's tough to see, you know, I always want to give people the benefit of the doubt and say, maybe they, you know, they're not inherently a bad person. Maybe they had good intentions because most of us do have good intentions. I mean, who wants to go on to a TV show in front of the nation and be a bad person and be hated. Like, nobody goes on there knowingly and says, well, just hate me, world. I'm completely good with it. Bring it on. Mm-hmm. They go on there with intentions of thinking that what they've done in the past or who they've been up until that point is okay, is morally and ethically okay, or that if they have made mistakes, which a lot of us have in different levels, you may have all made some kind of mistake, you hope that, you know, maybe that's in your past. But as you know, in Bachelor Nation and the nation of social media and Twitter and people pulling up old screenshots, if you have made mistakes and you come into this type of environment, they will come back to haunt you. You know, we've seen that too many times. It happens every season now, and it's like the big reveal of Reality Steve and those type of people is to say, oh, let's dig up the dirt on these people's past. So, you know, maybe there are people out there that have a very clean past and they've never done or said anything that they shouldn't have said or come onto the show with bad intentions and they're trying to hide something and then they get found out. So I feel bad in a way, but at the same time, when you see what somebody like that actually did, you're like, man, even if you had good intentions, what were you thinking? Like, it doesn't make sense. It's not right to the girl that you were dating before. However, whatever the details are on that, we only see it through a certain lens, but there are receipts, as they say, out there. So you're like, gosh, that was just, it just kind of makes you, it's cringeworthy, I guess you would say, to see that kind of stuff. And so I guess now that that Jed is going to come out of contract, he'll be able to speak about it. I don't know what's going to happen now. So maybe you guys know what's going to happen from here? Have you heard anything?
Well, we have an inside scoop that says that no one knows what's going to happen.
Well, it's going to be interesting, to say the least. Yeah, Chris Harrison's definitely right on this one as far as one-upping the most dramatic ending ever. So I feel like it's gearing up to be one of those kind of nights.
I have to ask, though. I mean, we have to be aware, and I was just thinking about this week. He isn't the first, nor will he be the last person to come on this show, man or woman, that have a significant other when they come onto the show, that they break up right before the show starts once they find out they're going to be a part of the cast. That's happened many times before. And so I was thinking, tell me if you think I'm wrong, and listeners, please email us at BenAndAshley@iHeartMedia.com. I was thinking, what did Jed do so wrong here? Like, why was his the storyline that really upset us? And I think there's two things he did wrong. One, you know, we found out that Peter had a girlfriend going on to the show as well, or they broke up 5 months before. The thing that Jed did wrong was he sent text as he was getting on the plane saying, all this is going to work out in the end, right? I'm going to come back to you. This is just to heighten my career. He's not the first, and he won't be the last person to come on the show to heighten their career. That happens, too. We've all seen it. We know it. And some of us have done it ourselves. Like, I think I have great friends who came on the show going, it's going to be really good for my life and my lifestyle. And then all of a sudden, they find themselves falling in love, and they go, oh, crap, things have changed. The second, and to this is what I think Jed did wrong, is while he was falling in love with Hannah, if he really did fall in love with Hannah, which I would assume he did, he should have brought his ex onto the show or called her or something and said, hey, I know I went into this with the intention of coming back to you. I know I went into this and I've already admitted on the show to get famous. Like, I know that was my intention, but please know I'm now in love with this Hannah and I'm here for a whole different reason than I ever expected. I think if he would have done that, or if he still does that, on this last episode that we haven't seen yet, I don't think we do, because like Ashley said, we have some inside information that nobody, producers, nobody knows how this is going to end, which is going to make the last episode so wild. I think we forgive him. And I think we say it all makes sense.
Let me clarify. Yeah. We don't know what's going to happen during the live show. The producers have no idea what is going to unfold the live show. That's because of course we know how the producers know how the last recorded episode unfolds, but it's the live show where it's like anything can happen. Oh. And to talk about what you have mentioned, Ben, I think it was the combination of having a girlfriend and then obviously being there for his career.
Right. Yeah. I agree. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. That's the difference in the Twitter world, you know, jury is out there saying that you know, Peter's girlfriend came out, and everybody's like, yeah, well, that's kind of a moot point. He broke up with you at Christmas, mm-hmm. and you admitted that yourself by text messages, and he said, hey, I don't want to be in this relationship with you anymore, and he completely has that right.
Yeah.
And that's completely forthcoming and truthful, and a few months before they even start filming the next show. So, you know, hers was kind of an ill-advised, you know, alarm that she sounded. Yeah. But then Jed's, on the other hand, yes, the intention was, hey, I'm going to go on this show. I'm going to be, I guess, kind of, I'm going to be faithful to you, one, which was a lie. And then two, I'm going to bamboozle the whole world and kind of mislead the world and say I'm on this show to be in love and find love with Hannah, but I'm gonna come back to my real girlfriend after. And he had that intention the entire way through, and so that's what is just tough to look past. You know, you're like, gosh, I just, you know, what we've seen and what we have to judge that from, as far as evidence so far, is saying that is just not the right way to go about it in any sense. But there's more information to still come, and there is, like Ben said, a couple of long shots of scenarios that this could work out in a way where you would be like, okay, that makes a little bit more sense. It's sad, but, you know, I mean, think of it like this. It's like, if we look just at what Ari did on his season, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Ari got engaged, you know, to Becca, and then completely, and tells her, I want to spend the rest of my life with you on national TV. And then, you know, a few weeks later says, wait a minute, there was this other girl and her name's Lauren. I want to go back to her. And so, you know, so, I mean, there is in love, you know, it's kind of that all's fair in love and war. It's kind of like he changed his mind. He had a change of heart. Now here he is. They've had, you know, they started their family. They've got a happy life together. They're married. And that was the right decision for him. Although it looked very brutal to see what happened to Becca, having to break up with her in the finale of that season. So it's there's some predicaments out there for sure. But that's what I was going to talk about. Now, the other thing with Jed, that's just in the relationship world. I will say this, you know, you guys know that I've delved into the music world some. That's always been kind of, although it wasn't what I was on the show, I didn't talk about it on the show at all. I was in the military, and I was an Army veteran, was like my career when I was on the Bachelorette with JoJo the first time. And so, mm-hmm. you know, after that, you know, I'd been living in Nashville when it came out that, oh, he's a songwriter, he's whatever. And the thing is with having to go on there, I don't think you should go on there, trying to boost your career. You know, I think people should try to go on there with an open mind. And I think that every person that applies to the show, they realize now in the world of social media that, yes, it can't, whatever you're doing, if you're doing music and you've been doing that for 10 years, or you decide to do it tomorrow, it possibly can boost that career. If you're, you know, selling widgets on Instagram, it can boost your career. You know, if you're in a career that you don't like, in the cubicle, some type of career, and you're selling insurance or something, and you go on The Bachelor, then when you come off, most people don't go back to selling insurance or whatever they've done before. They leave that, and then they'll do another reality show, or they'll, you know, continue to start another business and different things. And so I don't think that there's anything wrong with making those kind of parlays and those segues into other parts of people's lives and what they're passionate about. But I don't think they should come on there with that sole intention, you know? And so,
do you think it was weird that the producers concentrated so much on the musician storyline the entire season?
Yeah, I do. I think a lot of people notice that, you know, every time Jed's on the screen, he's like playing the piano, then playing the guitar, then they went to the studio. And then I think his dad apparently was like a career musician as well, or something to that effect. And I mean, it was completely 100% his storyline. And so I think that, you know, it's tough to see that career. I'm trying to think if there's any other ones. I mean, that career of anything, because
acting,
yes, those coincidentally cross over in terms of, wow, your business is not just selling products, but it's about how many fans and people you have following you. And so if that's what it is before the show, and then you come on the show and then you increase your followers and yada, 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 the part that people believe in is if that's true, then they must be getting those followers to increase their career. What else would they be on there for? And so that's kind of the logic that's there. And for some, it is sadly true. But for others, I don't think it should be an automatic indictment on their intentions. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like, what should we do? I think there's some people in the Bachelor world who be like, yeah, well, the producer should never cast anybody who's a musician or an actor or anybody that is any type of career that might possibly boost their quote unquote, you know, entertainment career or whatever it is. They should never cast another one because they're obviously there for the wrong intentions. How could they be there for anything else? You know what I mean? And
yeah.
So I feel like that's tough. But also I do feel like the producers know that, and that's a storyline that, you know, a guy like Jed can come on there. And I think his intentions were probably realized during the casting process. And you can, you know, borderline, I'm not saying they did or they didn't, but you could exploit that if you wanted to. And you could say, yeah, look, this guy, all he's just out here just trying to, like, toot his own horn. He's, you know, he hasn't had any legitimate music industry success. He's not signed to a record label or any of those things. He's not on the radio, yada, yada, yada. So it's going to look kind of like he's just clinging for some success because of this TV show. It's sad to see that. And so, I mean, I think at this point, if there was somebody who was getting casted for this show right now, and they were saying, and they told me what their career was, you know, I would say, look, if you're in the music industry or whatever, you should probably, you know, think twice about doing this because, you know, what, first of all, be true to yourself. What are your intentions on going on the show? Are you open to a relationship and being fully vulnerable in that way? And secondly, even if your intentions are good, what's the world going to think about you? Because of your career.
Yeah.
And that's just, I think, the truth of the matter in the situation as it is now. So,
Luke, you're telling us honestly that you didn't go on for any sort of music career. I know you fell in love with JoJo. Are you that instance, though, that you were just talking about where it's like maybe you went on to gain a following for your music career, but then you did end up falling in love with JoJo and making, you know, at the end of the day, it was the right reasons?
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, I try to be as honest with myself as possible. And I'm not going to say I went on there unaware that, you know, it could maybe help. But at the same time, here's the reality of it, and I can say this 3 years later, is what I didn't know. It was much uncertainty because that was a conversation I had with myself and even some people that, you know, were mentors in my life and stuff outside of that world. Before is like, well, if I did go on this show, who knows? Like, it may hurt my music career because now I've got a bunch of reality TV fans that see my image in this certain way, and they'll never be able to see me again as a legitimate, like, oh, he's an authentic guy from Texas who just drinks beer in the quintessential country music image, because then it will be burned in their mind or in, you know, millions of people's mind that he's the Bachelor TV guy, you know what I mean? And so it could be the nail in your coffin of a music career too. And so that was a thought that I had. I was like, I don't know what it's going to be for a career wise, for a career implication. But I went on there thinking, well, it's kind of like, why not? At the end of the day, I was like, well, this is like the most exciting thing that's come up in my life in a long time. I haven't dated anybody literally in like, it had been 2 or 3 years at that point before I'd been in a serious relationship of any kind. And I was like, well, surely it won't hurt. We'll just try it. We'll see. Maybe. I don't know. But, you know, there was no thought that, and obviously when you come off of it, you see that, hey, when you come off the show, I'm not getting a Grammy or anything. You know, you're not surrounded by multi-million-dollar music producers, and all of a sudden things are just like popping for you. You know, you can. Yes, there are a lot of fans from the TV show that cross over for a little while, and like some of them will like your music, other ones will hate it and say you suck, and I'm not into. I hate country music, and so like you've got this conglomerate of fans, and they're not necessarily like music fans. So to go in there and think that your career is going to be 100% just helped. And you know, propelled forward. It it didn't. And it wasn't really about that. I was passionate about music, and maybe it helps my career. Maybe it hurts my career. I don't know, but it's an opportunity to just kind of go do something different, meet some new friends, see the world, maybe fall in love, you know, 1 in 30 chance of falling in love, and let's go try it. And that's kind of what it was for me at the end of the day.
If you're a musician and you want to go on a reality show to get fans, why wouldn't you just go on The Voice or American Idol, you know?
Well, there's that, yes, but now that these days, from what I hear in Nashville and people that have been on it, that's a very watered down place to make your music career work now, because you've got, you know, there's so many of those shows, so many seasons have happened. It's oversaturated, I guess. And so, you know, Carrie Underwood made it, maybe Miranda Lambert made it through another show. There's a couple here and there. But for the most part, those people have very mediocre careers now, you know, not the other 90% of the people that come off those shows. Their actual music careers don't segue at all. So
right.
It's a tough world. Entertainment business is about art. It's very subjective. It's about what people like at the time. It's about how much hype and how much of a team that you have around you in the industry, how much money is pumped into the name and image as a whole. It's a very complex industry to have quote unquote, you know, success or radio success or hundreds of millions of streams, or to be the aspiring Ed Sheeran of the world, or, you know, what is success in the music industry? It's very subjective, you know? So, anyway, for me, music is a passion. It's something that I love. I wanted to do it, and I'll continue being involved in it with my entire life. But like my pedigree, or like my background is in, like, was leading soldiers in the military for right. 10 years, was in business and, you know, being a small business owner. And that's what I've gone back to now as well. I've started a couple of businesses back here in Nashville, one in Kentucky. And those are the things that, despite, you know, how many followers I have or how many TV shows I was on, that won't matter. That's just like real life stuff. And you continue moving forward with your life and the people that are around you. And eventually you have to come to terms with the fact that, hey, whatever intentions or however much hype came from being on one season of The Bachelorette or 6 seasons of The Bachelor spinoff or whatever it is, that will eventually kind of fade. You know what I mean? And you have to figure out, recenter yourself and say, what's important in my life? What's my purpose in my life as a person? And I think that would be my advice to these young guys that are just doing their first season, and maybe they've got to, you know, been the villain, or maybe they're going to be the next Bachelor, whatever it is. Like, you've got to just be true to yourself at the end of the day and decide, however good or bad this turns out for you, you have to always stay centered and know, this is me. What will my life be in 10 years when all this fades away, good or bad, you know? So
Luke, what is your purpose today?
Yeah. You know, my purpose today is working on building a life for my family that I don't have yet. That's in the back of my mind. I mean, I want to build a life for, I'm preparing kind of myself to raise a family, to build the college fund, to build a house, have a farm with kids can run around on, you know, and I'm giving back to my military charities, which, you know, for a time I kind of got away from that. I was kind of glad to get out of the military for a few years. And then now I'm at a point where I was like, well, that was like a very formidable time in my life. And I met some of the best people and really had some of the best learning experiences and some of the best relationships in my entire life were in the military. And so now, you know, I work with 5 or 6 military charities very closely every day to find ways to give back, raise awareness for what they do, use whatever platform that has come from this TV time, and give back to those military charities, from Wounded Warrior Project to Homes for Heroes, to Creative Vets, which is the music-related charity we work with here in Nashville, to the Comfort Crew down in Austin, Texas. And there's just the list goes on and on. And that's a passion of mine. And I just want to love people and just be a good friend and stay centered and be a value added to whoever's life that I'm in. I want to say that I'm value to them as a friend, as a boss, as a husband, as a father, whatever. I want to add value to people's lives. So that's what I'm living for now.
Oh, Luke, we love you.
I love you guys. Luke, we're really excited for you guys. The wedding. Yes. How's the wedding planning coming?
It's pretty stressful, but it's coming to a wind down. Thanks for asking.
You're so close. It's like, what is it, a month away?
It's close.
Jeez, that's so exciting.
Yeah, it is. It's really great. We're excited. It's getting to that real excitement phase where you're like, oh my God, a matter of days. You know, like the countdown's really on. It's pretty cool.
I can't imagine. Ben, are you coming to Nashville? Are you going to come? Your girlfriend lives here, right?
Yeah, man. She lives over by Vanderbilt. I don't come to Nashville as much as I'd like to, but honestly, I need to start coming more. It's a great city. My favorite restaurant I've had in a while is called City House. It's over there in Nashville.
Love that.
Have you been? They have great pizza.
I've heard. Yeah, Amanda's told me about it, but I haven't been there.
You got to check it out. We've had some nice dates there. But yeah, Jess lives there. Her family's in Franklin. And life's good, man. Life's really good. That's clicking.
That's great to hear. Well, let me know you next time you're in town. You know, I'm always here, and I'd love to take you guys to dinner or something and catch up.
Dude, I'd love to.
Do you have a girlfriend?
Yeah, Amanda.
Oh, okay, Amanda. Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, for a year now. Wow. So.
Luke, thanks for coming on. Thanks for being an expert in everything, Bachelor. We love talking to you. We hope life is going well. And congrats on the success with the charities and the music. And unlike some, you came on this show to not enhance your music career. But gosh darn it, we really hope it is enhanced in your life today. Luke, thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you guys so much. Y'all have a great week.
Bye, Luke. And if you guys are interested in Luke's music, he has a new single out right now called Remember These Words. And I know that when you listen to that one, you're going to probably download the rest of his stuff, too. It's really good. All right, Ben, let's move on to another topic like Blue Apron.
Oh, I love Blue Apron so much. It's been too long, Blue Apron. And I cannot wait to talk about you once again. Nothing says summer like a classic juicy burger or whipping up a fresh tomato salsa or sharing a delicious meal al fresco. This season, experience the joy of cooking something new, trying new-to-you techniques, and make cooking fun again with Blue Apron. And with an ever-changing mix of meat, fish, and vegetarian recipes to choose from, it'll be the tastiest summer yet with Blue Apron. The hard parts are done for you. Cooking isn't a burden anymore. In fact, it's actually a lot of fun to learn new kitchen skills with each meal. Because of my hectic schedule, I will tell you what, I feel like I had no other choice in eating more than I should. But with Blue Apron, I actually have time to cook a delicious, wholesome meal instead of relying on takeout. And let me tell you, I feel better, I look better, and my taste buds appreciate it. Blue Apron chef design recipes include amazing specialty sauces and premium ingredient blends that would otherwise be difficult, expensive, or time-consuming to source or make. I just made the fresh basil fettuccine with San Marzano tomatoes and goat cheese. Seem impressed, don't you? Yeah, you should be. It is good. To start, here's what you've got to do. It's not hard. It's easy. To start making delicious, brag-worthy meals at home without the hassle, try Blue Apron. Check out this week's menu and get $60 off when you visit blueapron.com/almostfamous. That's, again, that's $60 off when you visit blueapron.com/almostfamous. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. You know, Ashley, I want to dive into the episode. Like you said, there isn't a lot to dive into. You know, I think we've covered a bunch of topics, but you had a lot of like strong opinions early on this season about Peter. He's now obviously gone, and I want to hear from you. Are you surprised? Are you saddened? Or was this expected?
I think it was pretty darn expected. Like I said, I think last week, I feel like of all the moments in each episode, the last moment I would think of would be Peter's date or Peter's time. I'm like, I know that they obviously got along really well. They had some immense physical chemistry, but it seemed like every time I went to recap the episode, Peter was the last thing I thought of.
Yeah, you know, It's true. I thought about that last week, or I think it was 2 weeks ago when I was last on the podcast with you. You had mentioned that theory. I agree. He's now gone. So we move into the family dates, which I remember this week for me when my parents showed up. This was the most stressful week of the whole season for me.
So I was like really confused. She kept saying my parents. She didn't say anything about her brother. And then we show up and there's her brother and then like another couple, which her aunt and uncle, who knows? But we were never introduced to anyone other than her two parents. It was kind of weird.
It feels weird, right? They're just like, why would you bring people down? Why would they come if they're not going to be a part of it? And I mean, I know from my parents' experience, it's a big commitment, right? You're nervous. You're meeting these people who will potentially be engaged to your son or daughter, and you're meeting them. It takes all day. Like, it's not like it's like a 15, 20 minute talk. It's 4 hours of conversation.
Really?
It's a long time. And so like, why would you ask a brother or sister or an aunt and uncle to come down if they're not even going to be introduced?
I know. They took the trip from to Greece. Super weird that they just didn't introduce them, because then I felt like we were sitting in a room with a couple strangers there. How long is the conversations with like each one-on-one conversation?
I mean, so this is how it typically works. It was a little different with me, right? Because there's only three of us. Like, it's my parents and I. I was nervous because your parents don't sign up for this whole thing. And so they kind of get thrown into this world. All of a sudden, they're meeting these two women who, for me, like, they're like, well, he's obviously in love. This seems to be a good thing. I have no clue about any of them. And now I'm going to be on national television trying to, like, in, you know, a short amount of time, figure out what's best for my son. It's a lot. And I'm sure everybody stresses out. Every family stresses out about this. But the mom or dad or both probably have, like, an hour conversation. So if you have four people to talk to, you're there 4 hours. And then the bachelor or bachelorette talks to their parents for a good hour. I mean, again, it's an all-day adventure.
Do you think that they legitimately preferred Tyler over Jed that much, or that was a lot of just what we saw?
I think so. I mean, here's another thing. And we've seen it season over season over season. This is one of those consistent storylines that, you know, it just happens. I don't know why, but it feels like the family is never in favor of the person that is kind of the favorite in her heart. And I think
it's the front runner,
like,
totally.
The front runner. And like, as Hannah said, you know, Jed's been there since the beginning and Tyler's kind of this new thing for her. Who knows if at the end, you know, she ends up continuing this thing with Tyler or not. But we've all known Jed for a while now. And if we didn't have this information about his ex-girlfriend release, I bet we're all pretty big Jed fans at this point. And when this was being filmed, you know, Jed was the front runner. And kind of like the dad said to Hannah, Jed wasn't answering these questions well. Like, he was kind of dancing around the answers. And his answers kind of pointed to, like, what is your dream? You know, support a family. And he's like, well, I want to support my family one day. I want multiple ways of income. It's like, well, no, everybody wants multiple ways of income. But, like, how are you going to get there, Jed? Like, be a man. How are you going to get there? What are you doing now to further your career and your foundation for the future? And his response was, you know, he got this gig with a dog food company. I don't know anything about jingles. Like,
it
I don't know how
sounded,
much you paid the best.
It, like, it was portrayed as if it was, they were kind of demeaning him, like the dog food jingle. But honestly, a dog food jingle, like, for Iams could be, like, a really big deal. Blue Buffalo, I mean, like, it could be, like, a big deal. So it's nothing to belittle. However, it definitely came across that way.
You know what it reminds me of? I mean, Charlie Sheen on Two and a Half Men made a really good living doing jingles.
The best. He had a house on the Pacific Coast Highway or something.
Exactly. So, can't hate on a man for doing jingles, but the family was definitely concerned because I think they saw what a lot of us have seen this season, that Jed doesn't necessarily have a foundation that he's building on right now, and he's throwing a lot of his eggs in the music basket.
Right. Can we talk about how it seemed super obvious that Jed was the front runner in Hannah's heart when she got angry at her mom being like, I knew you guys were going to do this. I knew you were going to say this about him.
Yeah, she definitely showed her true colors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know who her favorite is. she was very protective of Jed. And, you know, I mean, good for her in a sense. But also, you know, when I did it with my family, they know a lot. And you should listen to their opinion because they can see things that you don't see because you've been so entranced in this world for so long. And I think it's easy to get defensive because you can say, you know, to your parents, oh, you just don't know the full story. But that could be to their benefit. And I think Hannah's parents are pretty spot on so far on what they're seeing. Do you agree?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that Tyler is obviously going to be the guy who's like more warm and masculine and seems like more of a protector. I think he's definitely going to be like most parents' favorite based on a first impression. Ben, don't mean to get awkward here, but didn't your parents, quote, prefer JoJo?
Yeah, I mean, that's how, yeah. And so I talked to him afterwards, and this was the response I got from them, right? Because it's obviously going to be shown like you support one side or the other. And my mom is very opinionated, and she loves her son very much. And so she had very strong opinions about who I was going to propose to. Hey, call her crazy, but I think every parent should have an opinion on who, you know, who their kid has fallen in love with. And as she explained it to me, because I didn't get to see the whole thing, she said, yeah, I voiced opinions positive and negative about both. And obviously, I couldn't, like, say who my favorite was because I didn't know these girls. So, like, it came off as, like, she was super, you know, supportive of JoJo. And she's like, at the time, all I knew is that JoJo and I had a great conversation. It seemed fun. She seemed fun. And she seemed to really care about you. Because I didn't have a lot of negative to say about either of them because I didn't know either of them. So, like, you're going to sit there and go, you know, who's your favorite at this point? And it's kind of like throwing darts with a, you know, a blindfold on. It's like, well, I don't know which one. Like, both of them, they seem fine. Like, this is whatever. So the show, this is the one part of the show that I get pretty sensitive about because they did, you know, show my mother supporting JoJo more. And after talking to her, she's like, I didn't support either of them more. And then you watch it back season over season. And I just know how much it affects the family and the relationship afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what do you think that Hannah is going to feel with her family after this is all said and done?
I think she's going to, I mean, we'll have to wait. Once again, I mean, Ashley, this is one of the craziest seasons because we don't know how this is going to end. We know that there's an episode. We know that there's like this ends, obviously, somehow. But if Hannah is like super relieved that this information about Jed came out so that she sees the truth, then she's probably going to be appreciative of her parents for caring. Now, if they're together and they're trying to make this thing work, this episode's going to be pretty hard for them to watch.
Yeah, it's so true. Well, let's talk a little bit about how we have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. So this episode was like, it wasn't bland. It was a good episode. But the most dramatic parts of it were Hannah's issue with Hannah's family's issue with Jed, and then seeing her with Jed by the water and talking about how she just kind of straight up told Jed, she was like, they like Tyler more, you know? That was the most dramatic part. But I also have to say that based on watching this episode, I think that there's a connection with Jed that she doesn't have with Tyler. I think she wants to be connected with Tyler the way that she's with Jed. I think she wants to pick Tyler, but she knows that she has something more unspoken, an unspoken connection with Jed.
Can we also comment that Jed and Hannah's hometown dates and family meeting dates have just gone
really
terrible?
Badly.
I mean, like really bad. They've both been pretty awful.
Huh, but do you feel me when I say that I think the connection was stronger with Jed? They like have real conversations. Yeah. It's not just fluff. I do feel like with Tyler, it's a lot of fluff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I do because Tyler has that like one-liner communication style where he comes in, he goes, I'm in love with Hannah Brown.
And, yes.
You know, and you like it. It works. But like, I don't think it like cultivates the deepest like back and forth conversation. And I think she's a little bit at ease with Jed too. I mean, I think she's into them both, but Jed, I don't know how this is going to come off. Jed doesn't really intimidate her, meaning like not that in like a good way. Like I think when she's around Tyler, she's like a little anxious and nervous still, But I think Jed brings her to ease, like makes her just like be herself. And I don't know if Tyler is like, because of how much she just is like blown away by who he is as a human, she's still a little nervous. And so she's not fully relaxed.
Oh, I don't know if I can interpret it like that. I just feel like Tyler doesn't challenge her and she feels more challenged by Jed. I have the perfect analogy here for all of you guys who've seen the movie Enchanted. Do you remember Enchanted? Do you remember Enchanted, Ben?
Jeez, yeah.
Don't say, oh,
I've
Jesus.
I've never seen Enchanted.
Are you kidding me? It's a fantastic movie.
No.
Are you kidding me?
What is it?
You've never seen Enchanted with Amy Adams?
No.
Okay. Well, we got people in here giving you the furry eyebrow, okay? okay. In the movie Enchanted, for all you guys who've seen it, what's his name? What? James Arthur. Okay, so in the movie, Amy Adams is like a princess. I don't need to give you the synopsis. This is really only for people who've seen the movie Enchanted. Jed is Patrick Dempsey. He's like that flawed, real human character. He's kind of cynical. That's Jed. She never thought she would end up with anyone like that. She thought she was going to end up with like this charming prince who said the most wonderful, pleasant things. And that was James Marsden's character. And I think James Marsden's character is Tyler. And she's like, oh, I want to like him, but why am I so drawn to this like grouchier version? This more real guy. She ends up like finding herself more drawn to the rougher conversations that she has with Patrick Dempsey, a.k.a. Jed, than she does with the fluffy fairy tale convos that she has with James Marsden.
I mean, I'm going to assume that was a good analogy. I have zero idea. But hey, Ashley, we got to take a second, take a break, and talk about one of our favorite sponsors. Before the break, Ashley was giving us an amazing analogy on a movie I've never seen about how Hannah's into Jed over Tyler. I'm sure it was great. Please email us once again if you thought she was right or wrong.
Thank you.
Ashley, I cut you off to talk about some of our sponsors, but what are your final thoughts on this episode? It wasn't super exciting, in my opinion. It just is leading up to something that I think will blow our minds.
I agree. So I think in conclusion, she wants to like Tyler. She does like Tyler, but I don't think she loves him. I don't think she sees a future with him. I think that even when she says certain things about him in her interview, like I could see being in his arms forever, it's almost a little forced. And I have Tori here in the studio nodding in agreement. It's almost like the producers were like, well, can you see being with him forever? And then she's like, I can see being in his arms forever. Like, I haven't really, like, lied or anything in the ITM room, but there are certain things that you end up, like, trying to act to say with certainty when you definitely don't feel certain about them. But you're like, I'm going to get through this line because I know I want to get out of here. And I just feel like that's how she's been talking about Tyler, which I know is shocking to all of America. He has 1.1 million followers, and that is unprecedented for a male contestant. I don't think any contestant has ever gotten that from one season, 1.1 million followers. He has Gigi Hadid following him on Instagram. This man is wanted, but I don't know how much he's wanted by Hannah. Conversely, the Jed date was messy, not just the family component, but also the boat component, in which Hannah was super seasick or just sick in general over the decision that she had to make. But it's the one that she connects. He's the guy that she connects with the most. And I just feel like, I don't know, it's there between the two of them. And even though it's there, I still don't think that's her husband. I don't even think Hannah thinks that either of these guys are her husband. The more that I watch her, like all the little nuances in these episodes, I don't even know that she's like referring to husband. She's referring to an engagement, but she's not saying like, this is my forever guy. So if she ends up picking Jed and the whole girlfriend thing continues to just make this whole situation even sloppier, I feel like I see her being like, you know what? At the end of the day, I didn't even see myself marrying him and being single. That's my prediction for what could happen tomorrow if she ends up picking Jed. But like I said, like we have inside sources saying, looks as if even the producers don't know what's going to go down in tomorrow's live episode. So that is pretty juicy.
It is definitely, it's funny. And this is one of those seasons, Ashley, I've got to admit, we went into it and like you, I was critical of Hannah. You weren't. You were super supportive of her. You're like, this is a great choice. And then it hit me like, yeah, okay, this is going to be fun. She's going to be awkward. She's going to be funny. But how are they really going to do anything different with her season as they have in the past? And somehow, some way, they pull it off once again where this season will have an ending unlike anything we've seen before. I'm telling you, we're going to be here talking about it, though. The Almost Famous podcast is going nowhere, no matter what we do. We're going to be here talking. So we're going to have an episode after the finale as well. It's going to be great. It's going to be wild. We're going to have fun with it. And just hold on to your seats.
We're going to have a special guest.
Who? Who's that?
We can't even say. I don't even know if it's confirmed for us yet. Well, I don't even know if they're giving us a name yet, but we are being given a special guest. They're not telling us who it is, but we know it's special, and it's a man.
And it's even more special than Ashley and I combined. Speaking of things special to us, we got to talk about one of our favorite sponsors, OpenFit. OpenFit takes all the complexity out of losing weight and getting fit. It's a brand new, super simple streaming service that allows you to work out from the comfort of your living room in as little as 10 minutes a day. Sculpt your body in convenience of your own home. No eyes on you. Work out with amazing trainers like Andrea Rogers, founder of the worldwide sensation Extend Bar, and the newest workout, Rough Around the Edges, with six of the most badass stunt women in the business.
If you're going on vacation soon, you're worried that your hotel won't have a gym, you can actually use OpenFit on your computer, any web-enabled TV, tablet, smartphone, even a Roku. You can tone up with Hunter McIntyre in his Tough Mudder workout. You will be amazed how quickly the changes start to happen to your body. Your abs are going to get tight and toned. Your tush is going to be more lifted. Your arms are going to be more sculpted. That's what I have to work out for the next couple weeks for the wedding. Like my arms, I need to start using his workout on OpenFit. You're going to be adding muscle without getting that bulk, you know? Nobody wants the, well, girls don't really want the bulk. OpenFit has changed the way that I work out. And just by texting our code FAMOUS to 303030, you can join me on a fitness journey personalized just for you. Right now, during the OpenFit 30-day challenge, our listeners can get a special extended 30-day free trial membership to OpenFit when you text FAMOUS to 303030.
You'll get full access to OpenFit, all the workouts and nutrition information totally free. Again, just text FAMOUS to 303030. Standard message and data rates may apply. Ashley,
should
our favorite time in the podcast. Yeah, we've got to. I mean, that's the coolest thing is when we have time in a podcast to do a few emails. And I think there's a few on here that we should definitely highlight. Here's a question. Okay. Mm-hmm. From Talia, we've just been talking about Paradise a lot. The question she has is, can Luke P. redeem himself? Something said on this week's pod really stood out to me. It was a discussion on whether Luke P. could ever redeem himself or go on Bachelor in Paradise. From what I understood, the group consensus was that he could not redeem himself. This made me think of Chris Randone, who was somewhat a villain on Becca's season. However, Chris ended up finding love with Crystal, who was the villain on Ari's season. Maybe if Luke went on Paradise and found love, not engaged, everyone's perception of him would shift. What do you both think of this? Would a good love story undo or rewrite the narrative of a villain's nightmare? Wow, great email, Talia. You really make me consider. I think it would. I think if Luke P. went on to Paradise and kind of humbled himself and didn't take such a stance like he was always right and that everybody else in the world had to be wrong because he had, you know, God on his side, then and maybe he opened his heart up to actually falling in love and being vulnerable, I think we would all say, good on you.
I think, Talia, what we were talking about as the group in Tahoe was that we're concerned that based on Men Tell All, that he is at the point yet where he could redeem himself. I think we're still like a little bit worried that he hasn't learned enough yet, especially back when filming started for Paradise, which was in early June. That would have meant that he only got off Hannah's season about a month earlier. But I'm not saying that it's impossible and that he can't. I think that we don't see him in previews for Paradise, and I think the likelihood of him being there is not high. But I do think it'd be a great thing for him to do to try to redeem himself next summer for Paradise. And then it'll give people, the audience, some time to cool down on their feelings about Luke anyway.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think, honestly, he's going to kind of fade out and it will no longer be a thing. He and I got into it on Twitter last week pretty good.
Oh, really?
His brother, I guess.
His brother. Yeah. I heard about the brother thing.
Yeah, it's just frustrating to me, and I'm done with it. You know, sometimes it's like a clanging gong. You just can't get anything to, like, you can't even converse. And when, you know, the one thing that I just really upsets me about people is when they dismiss other people completely and they don't even want to have a conversation. And this thing, there's this, like, idea, Ashley, and it's happened for years, and it's one of the biggest problems with Christianity and the church is once you have a topic that you stand firm on, and you have, and anybody disagrees with you, you just go to this thing of like, well, of course the world is going to disagree with me because I'm not of the world. And that's always a comment that you hear is like, I'm not of the world, so the world is going to disagree with me. They won't be on my side. And it's such a BS way to just dismiss any type of like good debate or conversation to come to truth. And that was what was happening. So I'm done with it. I'm no longer participating in the Luke P story.
All right. Then let's move on to another email. This one is from Bailey. It's about my sister's speech at the wedding. Instead of doing the super nerve-wracking speeches in front of everyone, we had the maid of honor, best man, siblings pre-record video speeches, and then we had them all compiled onto one DVD and had it played on a projector at the reception. And doing this, we now have copies of the speeches, and it's fun to go back and watch from time to time. I don't know how I feel. I mean, like, this is great for you guys. I'm glad that you did this. Because you like the way it turned out. I think we're going to have the speeches on tape from the videographers anyway. I like an in-person speech, but I did tell my sister that I would prefer her to record her speech on video like you guys did than have her not do a speech at all or have her speech done at the rehearsal dinner. So thank you for the suggestion. It's definitely something I've considered. I wouldn't do it for everyone. I like the in-person speeches, but if my sister is truly that nervous, then I'm fine with her doing a video. I was joking on my I Don't Get It podcast that the best case scenario for her would be if we had, what are they called? A hologram of Lauren. All of a sudden she goes bloop, and she pops up and is a twin version next to herself, and she gives the speech that way. Yeah.
You're just a few years too early getting married then.
I know. I was like, Lauren, you could lip sync it. I was like, we'll have the DJ play it. You just have to memorize it so you can lip sync it.
That's awesome. Hey, Ashley, you're the best. So pumped for you and Jared coming up soon. We're going to keep talking about your wedding, even though you feel like we're over-talked it. Yes. I know that the world is so pumped.
I don't know. Pretty sure they're tired of it, Ben. Pretty sure they're tired of it.
No, we'll see. Hey, we have another episode coming out after the finale. Until then, hold on to your seats, Bachelor Nation, because the word we get is that nobody knows how this thing can end. But make sure you tune in, because we'll be breaking it down with you. With that, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. See you later. Next episode tomorrow.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.